fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm making our way through a passage the last couple of days from 1 Corinthians, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which is given to us at Mass on Sunday as we launched into the Advent season, the season of celebrating and preparing ourselves for the celebration of Jesus' first coming, but also remembering and laying hold again of the realization that right at the heart of our faith is a constant posture of readiness and, as Jesus put it, being waiting and watching, being alert for the Lord's return. Because we are that body of people in the earth that understand where human history is headed. Those who are baptized into Christ, we know that we're in the final chapter of human history. I've been talking about those themes this week. And the church brings us these passages and directs us to the catechism in the hope that we will take time to meditate on God's word, to meditate on the teaching of the church, and allow the Holy Spirit to create in us the urgency that burned in the heart of Jesus himself. And to this day, according to the saints, they remind us again and again that Jesus' heart is broken for the lost. He continues to seek and save the lost, which is why he came. He came to destroy the work of the devil, to set captives free, to make it possible for human beings to be rescued and saved from the grip of Satan and the kingdom of darkness, and literally to move from a place of alienation, separation from God, to become children of God, to become partakers in the divine nature. Jesus has come to give us a share in the kingdom of which he's the Lord, as I ended the program yesterday talking about. The catechism is rich, especially in this section on talking from the creed. We talk about the truth and we declare the truth that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Go to the catechism if you have a minute today and just read through paragraphs 668 all the way through 690 and beyond. That whole section, it's just filled with scripture and the teaching of the church to help fill your heart and mind, to help renew our mind. This is a great season for putting on, as Paul said, a fresh new spiritual way of thinking about our life here on earth and what God's plan and purpose is. So the passage I was reading was, again, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and following. And church gives us that because at the beginning of the letter, Paul is reminding this Corinthian community, which is only about 5 years old, a lot of young Christians, and they've got serious problems, divisions and sexual immorality, lawsuits, people denying the resurrection, failing to celebrate the Eucharist properly, things like that. So Paul's writing a letter as a good shepherd to try to bring them back to the truth. And he starts by reminding them what happened to them. They met the Lord, the signs of the Lord's presence, the transformed life they were beginning to experience through baptism. And then Paul reminds them that the Lord wants to sustain and to deepen what he began in them to prepare them for the day of the Lord when they're going to meet him. On Judgment Day, every one of us, when we die, will experience a particular judgment. When Jesus comes again in glory, the whole world and all of God's creation will come under judgment. And Jesus is the one, the perfect one, the Word of God, who has the capacity and the power, through the gaze of his eyes that are flaming fire, the image we see in the book of Revelation and other places. His eyes were like flaming fire. He can pierce right into the heart of every man and woman and reveal perfectly what is it that I chose with the freedom God gave me. Who did I become? What is it that I really wanted? Did I bend the knee with humility and with a heart surrendered to God? Did I allow the Holy Spirit to give me the gift of faith, hope, and love in baptism? And that I say yes to it again and again, such that my heart fell deeply and profoundly in love with Christ, who's day by day leading me to the Father. And if that's how I die, and that's what's revealed, that's what I'll be given by the mercy of God. It's God's gift that came to me through faith and believing and then walking out that faith in real action. So again, verse 6, Paul is talking about the testimony to Christ that was confirmed among them. that they were not lacking in spiritual gifts, the manifestations of the presence of the Spirit, and that the Spirit was teaching them to wait with an alert posture for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, Paul says, guiltless in the last day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, this is why the church exists. This is why the church has sacraments and the sacrament of confession and means of grace and the Word of God to be able to help us stand guiltless before the Lord. He wants to purify us and He wants to forgive us of our sins right up to the last moment of our lives. And we should be striving against sin to the point, as the author to the letter of Hebrews puts it, that we haven't even yet resisted sin to the point of shedding our blood. There should be no limit to our yes to Jesus and our desire to battle with sin under His grace and help to conquer sin's work in us. The saints are the living example that life transformation is possible, because how we live really does matter. It's not just faith alone in the way some people, some Christians understand it to be. Faith without works is dead. Faith is, you know, faith expresses itself in love. And what is love? Love is doing the will of God. Jesus said, unless you obey my commands, if you love me, you will obey me. So here's Paul's concern in his exhortation. Here's some passages that are worth reflecting on that talk about the final judgment. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. According to what he has done. Not just according to how he has believed, but how his belief has led him to a transformed life and a new way of living. Our deeds are not the source of our salvation. Salvation is God's gift to us. The gift of Jesus becoming human flesh and dying on a cross and shedding his blood, that's why salvation is possible. That is pure gift. And we're given a share in that. We're given that offering of Jesus Christ for our salvation, and we receive it through faith. Faith is a yes to God's offer of salvation, a yes to Jesus' diagnosis of the sin-sick condition of our heart, and the fundamental truth that we all truly do stand in need of salvation. And no one is innocent before God, and no one stands in the position of being able to claim that salvation simply by virtue of their own achievement, of their own self-perfection. It doesn't work that way. Every one of us is humbled. Everyone who comes to Christ must be humbled by the reality of their sin-sick condition, as I said, and the need for a Savior. It's a gift. It's a gift that we say yes to. But it's a real gift we receive in baptism of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, being born again by water and the Spirit, being led into a living body of brothers and sisters who are striving after the kingdom of God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and are taking advantage of the graces that the church brings through the sacraments and the preaching of the church and the church's life and ministry, to strengthen us to be able to imitate the life of Jesus. Transformation begins here in this life. So the church talks about we are saved, we have been saved, past tense. How? In the waters of baptism. When we said yes to Jesus Christ, we are being saved right now by God's word. The Spirit's at work in us, transforming us on a daily basis. Again, receiving the sacrament, receiving the forgiveness of our sins and confession. We are being saved and we will be saved. Ultimately, salvation, friends, is entering into everything Christ has promised and receiving from Jesus a share in his own life. As again, as St. Peter said, to become partakers of the divine nature. We're not fully saved until we're home with the Father. That's ultimately what salvation is. Here's another sobering passage, but an important one from Romans chapter 2, verse 6 and following. For he will render to every man according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. That is, you hear that? Those who patiently, steadily, daily seek the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in the honor of the kingdom and seek that immortality that Jesus Christ offers to us. And Jesus will know it, by virtue of our works. That's why the saints are for us a tremendous beacon of light, friends, in a crazy and a nutty world that's unraveling around us. There's a kind of madness that's unfolding in our culture today. Our politics are screwed up. Our relationships, our racial divides. It's difficult to watch the news. It's so crazy. Friends, that unraveling is a direct consequence of a world that's drifting further and further away from Christ and living according to the commandments of God. We're defying our own nature. We're redefining human nature. This is a great victory for Satan. It really is. It's a great victory for the kingdom of the enemy to deny human nature, to deny the meaning of marriage, to deny what family is meant to be, this institution that God created. Confusion, division within the church. It's a sign that we're living under the discipline and the judgment of God in our time. Many people are choosing their own way, their own wisdom, their own light, their own truth. And that will manifest itself in works, the kind of works that Paul describes right here. Again, let me read from verse 6 on. It said, "For he will render to every man according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life." Verse 8, "But for those who are factious, who disobey the truth, but obey wickedness, there will be wrath and fury." There will be wrath and fury. The saints, as I was about to say, I didn't complete my thought, but what the saints are for us is a light. They show us, they incarnate, not on their own strength, they show us what Christ wants to produce in all of us. Jesus has been sent by the Father, not only to seek us and to save us, but salvation will be Jesus presenting us whole and complete to the Father. And that means being purified. And that purification begins in this life. Purification is, by God's grace and help, we learn how to love God first, to love our neighbor, and to do the will of God, to extend his kingdom in the world. We become like Christ. We become little Christ. So Paul makes it very explicit, the very same thing that Jesus said. And Paul's just echoing the teaching of Jesus, where it's very clear. "For the Son of Man will come with his angels in glory of the Father, and then he will repay every man for what he has done." Those are the words of Jesus, Matthew 16, verse 27. Once again, "For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay every man for what he has done," for what he's done in the body. And Paul reminds us that we're called to love. Love is the perfect way. And to live by a faith and a trust and abandonment of our lives to God. He's got this beautiful phrase, faith expressing itself in love. This is the Christian way. This is the Christian life. It's faith. What's that? It's a radical abandonment of our lives in trust to God, believing the truth about who Christ is, believing all of it that's been revealed, and then surrendering the free will he's given us, saying yes to him every day, and living a life that says, "Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Father, dear Father, I trust in you. You are my Father." That will express itself, friends, in love. God bless you. Have a good day, friends. I hope you can join me again tomorrow. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.